in the 10th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. Amen. 10th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. I'd like to read a little bit there about Saul. And this was Saul's inauguration day, and he was, they were making him king. He had already been anointed to be king, but Israel had come together, and they were going to anoint Saul to be king. Here in the 22nd verse of that 10th chapter, "Therefore they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, Behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said unto the people, See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book, and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, How shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents. But he held his peace." In the following chapter, we see a great battle fought. And Saul leads the men of Israel into battle, and God gives them a great victory. In the 12th verse, "And the people said unto Samuel, Who is he that said, Shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men, that we may put them to death. And Saul said, There shall not a man be put to death this day. For today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel." Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. All right. I think maybe we better pray. I've got some more scriptures to read, but it seems like to me that we ought to pray. Let's everybody stand and ask God to bless His Word this morning. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the reading of Your Word. We're thankful, God, for Your good hand upon our lives. And oh, God, thank You, God, for touching us. Hallelujah, God, we praise You. And thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and Your mercy. Oh, in our hearts, God, that You've touched. We love You this morning. God, we appreciate You. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Have Your way this morning. Anoint the lips of our Lord. Help us to be a blessing to Your children. Oh, God, use Thy servant to break the bread of life. Anoint the lips of our Lord. Bless us today. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. You may be seated. Hallelujah. In the 26th verse of the 10th chapter, "And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched." Amen. It's a beautiful story, the beginning of the life of Saul. We always get preached to about what happened in the end of Saul's life. But it didn't have to be that way, did it?
Right.
It's a sad day in the life of the church when all we can hear is the failures of men. Right. But we're living in that hour.
Yes.
Brethren, we best better walk humbly before God and continue to walk in the way that God is showing us to walk.
That's right.
Because all the good that we've ever done will not be remembered.
on the day of judgment. This is not preached this way in the Baptist church because they don't believe it this way. But we believe it this way, or at least as far as I know, most all of us believe it this way. And this is the way it's taught and preached in all the holiness churches that I've ever been in. Amen. And that is that you can slip and fall from your steadfastness and lose your reward. Amen. And lose your honor in the house of God. God raises up vessels, some of honor, some that are dishonorable. Amen. And just because you're maybe one of the more uncomely members, that doesn't make you an honor. Amen. God wants our lives to bring honor to Him. And God never had anything dishonorable or anything in his heart that was evil toward this man when God raised him up.
Right.
Amen. He was a humble man, even though he was head and shoulders taller than any man in Israel.
Right.
I like that. We often hear it preached, you know, that you know, Saul was head and shoulders taller than anybody in Israel, and he failed God, and David was a little fella and ruddy, and God raised him up, you know, and God used him because he was small. And but that's not the whole truth. Amen. As long as Saul was little in his own eyes, God used him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And that's what the Lord spoke to Saul through the lips of his servant Samuel.
Yes, amen.
When Samuel failed to obey the Lord, or Saul failed to obey the Lord.
Yes.
Over here in the 13th chapter, several places that Saul fails to obey the word of the Lord.
Yes.
Here in the 13th chapter, he refused to wait until Samuel came to offer up the sacrifice. And Samuel speaks unto Saul in the 13th verse. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would have the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. For the Lord hath sought a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Amen. Hallelujah. And in the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, Samuel still speaking to Saul. And Saul, God had sent him on a journey to destroy the Amalekites. And when he came back with the best of the sheep and the best of the oxen, which he said the people brought back to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Here in the 17th verse, "And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent me on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then dost thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone in the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And we'll stop right there. But I want to go back to this band of men that left with Saul, whom the Lord had touched. It says whose hearts God had touched.
Yes.
Amen. I tell you, it's wonderful when we can come together and leave the house of God and have hearts that God has touched.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
This group of men went with Saul back to Gibeah, Saul, and their hearts had been touched.
Right.
And their leader was a humble man. And though Saul was head and shoulders taller than anybody, you know, there's just something about a big old tall, lanky man with a humble heart that God likes.
Yeah.
Amen. And you know, it don't matter whether you're a big old tall, lanky man or you're just a little skinny, ruddy man. God likes humble hearts.
Right.
And when God turned from Saul, God was looking for somebody that was seeking Him with all of their heart. Amen. And these men walking along behind Saul. Now Saul, before, evidently was not a real, the type of man that was really involved in working for God. We can see this in when they were looking for him to put the approval of all the nation upon him as being their king. The day of his inauguration, the day when they were celebrating, the day when they were looking for him to say, God save the king. God bless King Saul. God's grace and goodness be upon him. They was looking for him. They was looking for him to lift him up above all the people, but they couldn't find him. And finally, they prayed unto the Lord and said, God, do you want us to keep looking for him? And the Lord is the one that said, he's hid in the stuff.
Right.
Now, I don't know how much stuff was there. That's pretty, wide when God said he's hid in the stuff. I don't know, you know, how much stuff was there or exactly what kind of stuff it was. But he is hidden the stuff. I don't know whether he was in under a haystack or whether it was under the barley or where he was at. But God said he's hidden the stuff. And here they went to looking, uncovering things. Now, where is this man at? We're going to anoint him king today, but he's done crawled under something and we can't find him. Can you imagine going to anoint a king that done hid under something? Well, if you'll think about it a minute, it gets kind of funny the more you think about it. God said he's hid under the stuff. Now, go look for him. And when you find him, he's the one that I've placed my hand upon. God never seems like picks folks that's just the common, ordinary people.
Come on.
It seems like that's the way it is to me. When Jesus came and anointed his disciples, he didn't go to the school of rabbis and look for those, you know, that were had the qualifications and had the calling and had the credentials and had the education. He went down beside the seashore and looked for somebody that had a humble heart that was willing to say what God put in their mouth to say. He was willing, the type of man that was willing to obey the Lord. Amen. And God said he's hidden the stuff. Keep looking for him. They had been looking for him, and evidently they had come to their wits' end. They had come to the place where they said, therefore they inquired of the Lord, Father, if the man should yet come thither.
Right.
Now, God, we're just getting tired of looking for this man. What are we to do? Are we to continue to look for him? Or are we just to go home and forget the whole thing? And God said he's hearing the stuff. Keep looking. He's out there somewhere. And here somebody said, I found a foot. Here's a foot sticking out. Or maybe here's a hand sticking out. Somebody's under here. They're hid under here. And somebody said, what in the world would a king be hid underneath that bunch of wheat or underneath that bunch of barley for? Why, he's scared to death. And these bunch of men of Belial, they laughed and said, ain't no way in the world this man can help deliver this nation. And there's no way in the world that this man can help these people. And that's the way the world has all Egyptians looking now as Moses came with his rod in his hand. Amen. He didn't come on a big stallion. He didn't come in bright shining armor. He didn't come with swords and spears to deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. The only thing he had was a rod in his hand and a great big God in his heart. Amen. And brother, that's all he needed. Amen. But oh, so many times the devil comes to us and tells us that we might as well hang it up. We might as well forget about it because we're not equipped to fight this warfare. We haven't got enough people. We don't have enough finances. We don't have enough of talent. We don't have enough of ability. And on the message goes. But God said he doesn't need all of that. All he needs is a humble heart. All he needs is a man that will say yes to him. Amen. And God said, Moses, what is that in your hand? Amen. What he had in his hand was just an old stick. Amen. But brother, just an old stick with the anointing of God upon him is more than all the resources of this world to accomplish the work of God. Amen. And God set his head in the stuff. I don't know where you're at tonight, but God is a looking for you. There's a job to be done.
That's right.
There's a job to be done. Amen. Don't listen to the wicked one. Amen. He would cause you to be timid and bashful. He would cause you to shut your mouth when you ought to open your mouth. I know there's a time to shut your mouth. Praise God. And some of us have that problem too. We need to shut it when we open it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. But anyway, Saul was a bashful, timid-like feller. Amen. But God got in the arrangements, and the men that went home with him that day was men whose hearts were touched. And everybody they came in contact with, they said, oh, you should have been there when Saul was anointed. You should have been there when the glory of God came down. You should have been there when Saul gave him God gave Saul a new heart. He's not the same man that he used to be. He's tall, we know that. He stands out among the crowd. But not only is he tall, not only does he have a great statue, but he's a man of God. The anointing of God is upon his life. Amen. And oh, that was what was great about Saul. That was what was great about Saul. And the anointing of the Lord came upon him as the anointing of the Lord came upon Samson. It's good to see you, Brother Rose. Amen. Good to see you, Brother Donnie. Amen. Praise God. Pray the Lord give you a penny too. Just like he's going to give all of us. Amen. That's a whole bunch in the eyes of God.
Yes.
Amen. These men's hearts was touched. Well, it doesn't really matter whether we play the music just right. It doesn't matter if whether or not we sing just right on key. It doesn't matter whether or not, Brother Gein, we have it all together and say it just right. Praise God, I remember greater anointings in my life. Oh, God. I remember greater anointings upon my life. Amen. When I had Peter and John, amen, down there in the Philippian jail, amen, Paul and Silas at the gate called Beautiful, praise God. Somebody said God wouldn't anoint that? Don't tell me he wouldn't. Praise God, I preached it that way, and God anointed me, and I felt good after I got through preaching. Now somebody come up and told me what I was preaching. Praise God, I felt good all the time when somebody told me what I was preaching. Praise God. It's the attitude. Amen. It's whether or not that we're doing what we're doing to please God. And God gets in it. Amen. And the folks, I'm in the 10th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, where it talks about Saul returning back to home. Amen. And there were some men there that had been to that inauguration that day when Samuel... here in the 24th verse, and Samuel said to all the people, see ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. Praise God. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king.
Yes.
Praise God. I'm trying to preach a little bit this morning on the positive side of Saul. Amen. It seems like to me we always get on the negative side, and there isn't anything wrong with that. There's a lot to preach about on the negative side.
Right.
Amen. Most time when we preach on Jonah, we preach on the negative side. But there were some positive things about the life of Jonah. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. And these men, as they went home that day with Saul, their hearts was about to burst within their bosoms. Amen. They had been in the presence of God, and God had touched their hearts that day.
Amen.
Oh, if every time we went away from the house of God, we could go away as men that God had touched. If we could leave the house of God rejoicing, amen, and saying, my heart has been touched. I've been lifted up. Amen. Brother, God was in that place. The anointing of the Lord was there. I felt God around the altars. The Holy Ghost was on the man of God. He spoke to my heart just what I needed. Amen. Brother, it had stirred the countryside. It had stirred the community. Amen. There's no better advertisement than your tongue. Amen. And brother, if there's anything that's hurt the church, it's not the advertisements that we've got on billboards. It's not the advertisement that we put on the radio. Amen. But brother, it's this poison that's been sown among the community and across the country by men's tongues. Amen. It's a fire. It's a world of iniquity set on fire of hell. Amen. But these men, as they went away from this day, amen, of this inauguration, and I'll have to admit, I don't think I've ever preached it this way. Praise God. But as they went away from there this day, they went away different. Amen. They went away changed. They were looking for a great deliverance in Israel. They were looking for God to use this man. They were looking for God to do something on their behalf. They were in trouble as a nation. Amen. They had come through a time when every man did which was right in his own eyes. Amen. They didn't have a king, amen, that was after God's own heart. They didn't have anyone except Samuel to lead them. And they had rebelled against him. They had rebelled against the word of the Lord. Amen. And in choosing a king, amen, they were rebelling against God. They were rebelling against God's man. Amen. But God went along with them and allowed them to choose a king or to make a king. And God chose this man Saul. Not because he was head and shoulders taller than anybody in Israel.
Right.
Not because he was talented or gifted.
Right.
But because he was a humble man.
Right.
That's why God chose him. When they looked for him, he was hid in the stuff.
Right.
Amen. And God said, he's hid in the stuff. Keep on looking for him.
Yep.
You know, we don't look for preachers the right way. Most of the time when we're looking for men, we look for somebody with qualification. We look for somebody who can speak well. And you know that we're guilty of it.
Yes.
Almost all the Pentecostal churches that I know of is guilty of it.
Right.
We spend a lot of time talking about God's looking for a humble heart. God don't care whether you're off key or not. God don't care whether you can play it just right or not. God don't really care. Just get under the anointing.
Yes.
Amen. And sing and play and let's have church. But when it comes right down to it, we change our mind. I said, when it comes right down to it, we want somebody that can play and just do it skillfully. We want somebody that can sing and do it skillfully. We want somebody that can speak and do it skillfully. We want the best behind the pulpit. We want the best behind the musical instruments. And if they're not the best, they won't get up there very often. Maybe every once in a while on Wednesday night, when there's not many folks around, well, come on, brother, and sing your song. Amen. Then we'll get up behind the pulpit and say, bless God, we don't care if they're talented or not. Just give us the anointing. Amen. Just a big lie, that's all it is.
Come on,
I said it's just a big lie, that's all it is. Amen. But when God's looking for a man, I remember hearing Brother Jack Coe's testimony and how that God spoke to his heart and he was called to the ministry. He was a very uneducated man. I wouldn't have ever thought that he went to Bible college, but he did go to Bible college. He went to the Assemblies of God Bible College because that's what he was brought up under. Back in those days, all the assemblies just about was holiness.
That's right.
That was back in the 40s and the 50s. There was a lot of these churches that were a lot more closer to God than what they are today. But anyway, God wasn't looking for someone with talent and ability. God was looking for somebody that he could use.
That's right.
I think that God sometimes can use donkeys and chickens better than he can use us preachers. That's right. Praise God. Amen. God's are looking for someone that he can use. And as long as Saul was humble before God, God used him. Somebody say amen. But I've already read it, but I'll read it again. 1 Samuel 15 and 17. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, thou wast made the head of the tribes of Israel.
Right.
When thou wast little in thine own sight. Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. I got a lot of preachers here today. Y'all better help me. Amen. Telephone, Brother Gaines. Amen. The reason I said Brother Gaines because it's probably for him. Amen. When thou wast little in thine own sight. Well, I'm not going to ask you tonight where you're at with the Lord or this evening, this morning. Amen. Because I'm sure that you know where you're at with the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. But there's some scripture over here, and maybe I can share with you for just a few minutes. Amen. Here in this 139th Psalm, and the Lord, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. We're talking about our Heavenly Father now. But there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful. Me, it is too high. I cannot attain it yet. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light unto me, about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. But night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Did you know that?
Yes.
We can't find no dark places that God don't see us.
Amen.
The night is as the day to God.
For
thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Oh God, I will praise thee, for thou art fearfully For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned. Continuance were fashioned. When as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Oh, my. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against the wickedly, against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and I am not grieved with those that rise up against, and am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred, and count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my thought, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. That should be every one of our heart's cries. Yes. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Right.
How long have I been preaching?
God's man. And I tell you what, I like to walk beside men. you know, that that preachers don't like to do, amen, that they've got to do. And I guess maybe we call it church business. And there's just some things about church business and getting things together, you know, and making things work. There's some among us who are gifted with organizing and putting things in perspective and making things work. We've got businessmen among us. I've always looked up to Brother Gene. Anytime I had any business to take care of, I always went to him. Me and Geraldine, we had confidence in him. He knew some of them long words that I didn't know. He knew how to make things work, you know, when it comes to business. And I just kind of, you know, go along with what he says, and I ain't so far got it in bad trouble yet. He's helping, you know, when it comes to business problems and things like that. Hey, man, there's some new deacons. I guess they think that they've got the answer. Some way or another, don't the majority of, I shouldn't just say deacons, but people who feel like that they're able to set the church on the right road. They're able to put the church in the right road. They're able to put everything straight. They're able to organize things and make things work, and make the church work. But I think when we was a whole lot more, amen, and Lord help me, God don't get no glory in ignorance, and I know that. But I think sometimes when we knew a whole lot less, but we just trusted God a whole lot more.
Samuel was late, and the people were becoming scattered, and the enemy.